Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Caroline and I'm an alcoholic. Would everyone please turn off their mobile phones or switch them to a silent profile, and please try to keep disruptions to a minimum. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in support of AA's singleness of purpose. We respectfully ask that sharing be confined to alcoholics, and when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard AA can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at the public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers, followed by a fourth speaker until approximately 8:30. I would now like to introduce tonight's final speaker, John.
My name's John and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Wayne, for asking me to share. And thank you for sponsoring me, and thank you to our first 3 speakers. I related to you all and they were really, really, really good shares. I got a lot from that. And, you know, if you're new in this meeting tonight, I hope, you know, you've had something in those first 3 shares, or you hear something in the remainder of this meeting that really, really motivates you to kind of jump on board and join us. Because, you know, I mean, I've got 25 minutes to share tonight, you know, but I could probably stand up here for 25 hours and still only scratch the surface of what this program's done for me, you know, and what it's given me. It's absolutely amazing. It really is, you know, and if you're new, you know, I hope you hear something that motivates you to you know, get yourself a sponsor tonight, you know, and start working through the 12-step program, you know, with the guidance of that sponsor, and you can get this too. And hopefully I'll get that across in my share tonight. Before walking into this room of Alcoholics Anonymous back in 2010, you know, and Shona said it, you know, there was one word that could, you know, really, really sum me up perfectly, you know, and that was victim. I was a total victim. I really, really was, you know. All my problems was down to everyone else. Totally was. That's all I could see, you know. It was their fault, their fault, their fault. Nothing to do with me, you know. You know, my parents and family, you know, they never understood me. My friends, they were never kind of there for me, but at least in the way I thought they should be. Employers, you know, and teachers at school, you know, they never gave me a chance. You know what I mean? They never understood my potential, and they never gave me the opportunities that I desire. You know, and yeah, I didn't have the best of upbringings. You know what I mean? It was quite dysfunctional. I had a mother who was missing from my life for long periods of time. I had a biological dad I still haven't met to this day and I know very, very little about. You know, I spent time living with aunties and uncles and grandparents. I spent time in foster homes. You know, so my upbringing was quite dysfunctional. And I went through life, you know, honestly believing that it was down to all that. That's the reason why I am the way I am. That's the reason why I act the way I act. That's the reason why I drink and do the things I do. You know, it wasn't nothing down to me. It was to do with all that. I realised today, you know, since coming into Alcoholics Anonymous and doing the work that I do, that, all right, I didn't have the perfect upbringing, but it was by far the worst. But I honestly thought, you know, I had the worst upbringing ever, you know, and this kind of victim mentality led me down a road of kind of like, yeah, drinking and you know, ending up in treatment centres and psychiatric units and in offices with therapists and counsellors and doctors and these really good people who did honestly try and help me. They never got anywhere. So I would sit there with these people and I would go on about my childhood and my mum not being there and my dad not being there and being in these foster homes and living with these family members, you know, and they'd be like, let's talk about that then, you know. And then the more I would talk about it, the more in my mind it would be justified. You know, it was their fault. It's not to do with me, you see. And then I'd walk straight out of those offices with the chip on my shoulder, growing even bigger, and I would drink, you know. And that's because I am the real alcoholic. You know, I've learned since coming into this room that, in fact, the problem was always to do with me. I had this problem within me long before I picked up my first drink. You know what I mean? I really, really did. I can see that now. I look back to when I was in school. I was already full of, like, restless, irritable and discontent, never happy. You know what I mean? Already blaming everyone else, already full of resentment. You know, and that's how I went through life, you know? So yeah, I'm blaming everyone else. You know, that's the way I'm going forward in my life, getting nowhere. You know, when really the problem's me. You know, I ended up in the treatment centres. And like I said, you know, those treatment centres, these good people did try to help me, but they never got close. And that's because, you know, I hit upon it. I'm the real alcoholic. You know, I believe these treatment centres and these therapists and these other things, and I'm not trying to badmouth them in any way, shape or form, because they do really help people, you know what I mean? And they did set me on my journey. But I don't think they can touch the real alcoholic, and there's a reason for that. You know, the problem drinking, well, the best way for me to kind of describe it is to tell a bit of my story, you know. I went into treatment for the first time in 2003. Now, when I went into treatment, the day before I arrived in that treatment centre, there was another guy who arrived in that treatment centre the day before me. He was called Neil. He was from Plymouth, you know, so we were from the same area. We were both detoxing from alcohol. We both had similar experiences. We were both similar ages. So we became very, very, very close. We went through treatment together. We built up a real bond. We left treatment. I started coming to meetings for a period of time. Back then, you know, around 2004, I never came to the Road to Recovery meeting. Neil went to meetings for a period of time. And then Neil left the meetings. I left the meetings. We both started drinking. I'm still in contact with Neil today, right? And Neil is, you know, he left treatment. He went to those meetings. He started drinking, but he's still got his life in order today. You know, he's still working. He's still got his flat. He has a few pints on the weekend. You know, he's got his family in his life. You know what I mean? And he's fine. He's all right. I left within weeks, months of me picking up that drink again. You know, I'm, you know, out of there. You know what I mean? Crazy. You know, I end up losing my family again, losing my house. Just that's the way I go. You know what I mean? Some people do develop drink problems. You know what I mean? For whatever reason. And they can go through a bit of therapy. They can go to treatment. They can deal on their problems. They can put the drink down and they can get on with their life. I ain't capable of that. Because I suffer from this deeper kind of illness, this spiritual malady that it speaks about in the big book. Step one, there's two parts to step one. And it talks about life becoming unmanageable, you know, and I suffer from that. I really, really do. So, you know, I had to come into these rooms and I had to really grasp that. I had to understand that. I had to be able to diagnose myself. That's why when I came into these rooms and I got myself a sponsor, walked into this meeting, the Road to Recovery meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I got myself a sponsor. He directed me to the big book. He directed me to the doctor's opinion. I started to understand about this illness. I suffer from an allergy, you know, and that started to make sense to me. I could kind of match up my own past experiences to what that big book was talking about. You know, the minute I put alcohol in my system, I'm away. All bets are off. You know, I've got no control over how much I drink, no matter how much I want to. You know, and there's always a story I tell, you know, and I remember it so clearly. Go into the pub with my brothers who aren't alcoholic, who aren't like me. And then this time I was going to do it. You know, I've been preparing all day. I was going to go to the pub. I was going to have a few pints, enjoy the football, have a game of pool. I was going to behave myself. And I got in there and I had that first pint and bosh, you know. I've got no control over what's going on whatsoever. I also suffer from an obsession of the mind. You know, no matter where I end up, what I go through, what I experience, I have a mind that will always convince me one way or another that it's the best idea in the world to drink again. You know what I mean? No matter what's happened, no matter the consequences don't really matter. None of that stuff matters. You know, this mind, this is what I'm up against, you know, a mind that's out to kill me, that will always tell me, yeah, it's the best idea to drink. And How do you defend against a good idea? You can't. There's no way. You know, that's why I need this program. And then I suffer from that unmanageability. So for me, the real problems start. I put down the drink. I put down that drink, you know, and like I said about Neil and me and the difference, I put down that drink. I can't do life on lifestyles. You know what I mean? Suddenly, my mind starts going a million miles an hour. I'm getting full of resentment, the paranoia, the anxiety comes back. You know, I must be suffering from mental health problems, so I'm going to the doctor and getting antidepressants and other medications. You know what I mean? And I'm tortured by this thinking. I can't rest. You know, I remember the worst time used to be in the evenings, and I used to try to go to sleep. My head would hit that pillow, bosh. You know what I mean? All that stuff would come back. Little movies in my mind playing over and over and over and over again, all the resentments coming up. You know, and that's when I put down the drink. You know, so for me, alcohol ain't the problem. Alcohol is not the problem. It became a problem, but it isn't the problem. The problem is up here, and it's in here. You know, and alcohol was the solution I found at a young age, 13 years of age. You know what I mean? The ease and comfort that comes from the taking of that first drink. I started to realise all this through sitting in meetings and listening to you guys share and reading that big book and speaking to my sponsor and speaking to the other old timers. And I started to realise how much trouble I was really, really in. You know what I mean? If I'm drinking, I'm in a bad, bad way because I can't control it. And I have a mind that will always take me back there again. But if I'm not drinking, my life becomes unmanageable. You know, and if you had asked me when I was relatively new about that unmanageability, I would have told you, yeah, well, I lose my jobs and my family don't want to know me. And that's not the unmanageability it's talking about. It's that inside stuff that I mentioned, the anxiety and the paranoia and just everything. It's horrible. It's torture. It really, really, really is. So I sat in these meetings. And I'm listening to you guys share. And all this stuff is making sense. You know, I can see that. Oh, yeah, I can remember the time I did that. And I'm realizing I'm just like all of you, you know. And then I start to realize, well, if this program can work for you guys, and you guys are going through all that same stuff that I've gone through, and you've recovered, then maybe this can work for me as well. Maybe if I just throw myself in completely, and do what you guys have done, I will get the results you guys got. And that was when my step two started. You know, that's when that started to come alive. You know, I started to believe in this program. That was, just, you know, my first higher power, was that belief that this has worked for you. You know, it's worked for Mark. It's worked for all you guys. You know, it's worked for Ryan. It's worked for Leroy. It can work for me as well. You know, you've all been where I've been. Yet you ain't like that today. Your lives aren't the same. You've recovered. You know, you're back in the real world, working, and you've got your families back in your life, and you're doing all this amazing stuff, you know? And I truly started to believe in that. And I just threw myself into this simple program, and that's when my sponsor took me through step three, you know? And I remember getting on my knees and doing that step three prayer. And step three is something that has really, really grown for me over time, and it's become more and more of a thing for me. I didn't realize the extent of exactly what I was doing when I first got down on my knees with that sponsor, but I knew that I had to give myself over to this program, you know, and that's how simple it was for me then, you know. So I started to work this program like my life depended on it. You know, I was doing those suggestions, you know, getting on my knees in the morning and praying, reading the Just for Today card, reading the big book, phoning people up, coming to my meetings, sharing, trying to help others. I was doing all that stuff. Started to go through step four. Now, for me, step four was an eye-opener. There's no two ways about it. You know, sitting down and writing down those resentments, starting with the resentments, and I didn't even really understand what a resentment was when I first started to do it, you know, and I had to get that understanding. And I sat down with my sponsor, and he took me through it, and I did the three columns and the name, and then, you know, what the resentment was, short and simple and to the point. And then being honest in that final column. And that took me a little bit of time to get used to, you know, really being honest in that final column. But I got there. And I started going through that. And I remember coming to this meeting. And I was stood outside on the stairs, just outside there. And I was with Mark, Fisherman Mark. And I said to him, I don't think I can do this step four. It's driving me mental. It's driving me absolutely crazy. You know, I remember picking up my big book and chucking it across the room when I was going through my step four. It's bringing up all these feelings for me. And I remember Mark just laughing and nodding and saying, well, that shows it's working. You know, and I just carried on. It was with the guidance of the old timers like that at that time that kept me marching, kept me doing what I had to do. remember speaking to Wayne, and he said to me, look, just don't make a mountain out of a molehill. You know, and I just kept on. I kept focused, kept doing what I was doing, kept close to my sponsor, ringing him up. I got through that step four. You know, I wrote down my fears as well as the resentments, my sexual conduct. I shared things on my sexual conduct that I never thought I would share with anyone in my life with my sponsor. You know, and that took a lot of courage and a lot of doing. But I got there, and then I humbled myself with that sponsor. You know, I was sponsored by Mike D at the time, and you know, I'll always be grateful for the way Mike was with me at that time, and you know, the patience and tolerance he showed me and the time he gave me. And I remember him coming around my house, and I've shared it before, you know, all morning my mind was going crazy. I couldn't sit down, I couldn't chill out. You know, in my mind, Mike was going to come round, I was going to read all this nonsense out to him, and he was going to go, like, you're a proper wronger, I don't even want to see you at the meetings again. I honestly thought that. But he came round, and I sat down with him. You know, I was living in a little flat at the time. We sat in my living room, and I started to go through this inventory, and I started to read it all out to him. And he just sat there listening. And like, I kept kind of looking at him, waiting for the reaction that didn't come. And I'm reading this stuff out. And then at the end of it, he just got up and he went, well done, mate. You know, you're an average alcoholic. Gave me a hug, and that was it. No, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You know, and he told me to kind of take a little bit of time, go through the bit in the big book that tells you to kind of review what you've gotten through so far. And I did that. And I'll never forget, for the rest of that day, you know, and then in the evening was when I really noticed it, just sitting down in my mind. That had stopped, that thinking, you know, that bump, a bump, a bump, a bump. It'd gone, you know? And it's really, really hard to explain to a newcomer what that feels like. You know, I know that because I've experienced it. You know, I went through my whole life with that mind that was going a million miles an hour. So I didn't know what it felt like not to have that until I didn't have it through doing that step five. But when I got it, it was like, wow. Wow. You know, I started to feel comfortable in my own skin. It says in the big book, doesn't it? You know, that's when we start to have a spiritual experience. And that's how it started for me. Carried on through the program after doing my step five, you know, coming to meetings, sharing, getting up and doing main shares. I got involved in service. Outside service, outside the group. And really, my recovery took off. Did step 6 and 7, went on to step 8. Now, for me, step 8 was the game changer. It really, really was. Shona, you said it in your share. You know, to actually take the time to sit down and look at how my behaviours had really affected other people. I'd never even attempted to do that before in my life, to kind of see it from the other side. So, you know, with step 8, what my sponsor got me to do was, you know, a list again and to write down the names of the people and then what it was that I'd done. And then in the last column, to write down with some really kind of good words, some really descriptive words, what I would have felt like if I was in that situation. And I sat down and I started doing this stuff, and it was like, wow, you know, really putting myself in that other person's situation and trying to see things from their viewpoint. That was a complete and utter game changer for me. It really, really was. There's no two ways about it. You know, it was very, very humbling. Yeah, and it started to kind of teach me to kind of, you know, what that was like for the first time in my life. Once I'd done that step 8, again, you know, I showed it to my sponsor. We sat down and we started to come up with a plan, a way forward, you know, how I was going to start to make these amends. And for me, you know, making amends has been, it's an amazing experience. It really, really, really is. You know, I started with my close family members, you know, the easier amends to make. You know, I went and humbled myself before them, you know, and said, you know, there was important things that was kind of told to me when I made these amends, when I was a newcomer. Really important things, like you don't say sorry. I'd spent my whole life saying sorry because I wanted to manipulate people. That's the truth of it. I'd go to them and say, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that, so then I could get what I wanted. I couldn't just, it wasn't just good enough going and saying I'm sorry. I had to ask for forgiveness. That felt very strange. But I remember one amends, the person actually turned around and said, I'm glad you asked for forgiveness. I'm glad you did it that way. So it shows the impact that has. I had to go and ask for forgiveness. You know, if I'm making a financial amends, I make sure the money's there, or I come up with some sort of plan that's acceptable to them that I can pay them back. You know, and I ask, is there, you know, this is immense. Is there anything I can do for you to put this right? You know, and you know, with a lot of my family members, those first amends I made, they were just kind of like, well, just keep doing what you're doing. But, you know, like Shona said again, you know, it's living amends, you know what I mean, with a lot of my family members. So, you know, further on down the line, there's opportunities that come up. And sometimes, you know, because I'm a self-centered alcoholic and all that stuff can come up, I don't really want to help out. And I need to remember in my head, you know, that actually I've sat down with this person, I've made amends, and actually it'd be good if I did go and lend that hand or did a little bit extra that, you know, could really make that life that little bit easier. So that's what I've done. I've not made all my amends either. You know, I've still got living amends going on. I've got some amends that I really hope one day I will be able to make, but people just aren't about. But I've made a good chunk of amends, you know, and they do make one hell of a difference. They really, really do. And then my sponsor got me on steps 10, 11 and 12. You know, I started step 10 as soon as I finished my step 4 and 5. I kept on top of those resentments. You know, and step 10, you know, keeps me on that path, keeps me sane. You know, resentments still come up. I don't know how to deal with them. I don't know how to, you know, so I need to sit down. I need to take a bit of time in the evening. I need to do a daily review or a nightly review, you know, and I need to look at my part in what's going on. Otherwise, my perception gets all warped again, you know. I need to do spot check inventories throughout the day. You know what I mean? Take that bit of time away, you know. And like I've said before, you know, that taught me through the spot check inventory, you know, my whole life was one big reaction to what was going on. Things would happen and I would react, and then, you know, I'd get into trouble and there'd be this big cycle going on, and I needed to learn a way to be able to just not do that, take myself out of the situation for a minute and learn to act, not react. And that's what that enabled me to do. Step 11 has been something that has really changed for me over time. You know, to begin with, I didn't really know what I was doing with step 11. Now I have my own little kind of routine that I do. You know, I do believe in God today. You know, that is my higher power today, and that's evolved over time, and I have a strong belief in that today, and you know, that's became very central to what I do for step 11 today and step 12. You know what I mean? Working with newcomers. You know, I've been fortunate enough to take some people through the steps while I've been in this program, and every time I take people through the steps, you know, it's been an absolutely amazing experience. You know, it's taught me more, not just about kind of this illness and them, but about myself every time I've done it. So I'm grateful for that, you know, and grateful for this meeting and all you guys. You know, without this meeting and you guys and the people who have shown me the tolerance over the years and who have been there for me, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do any of this, you know. And if you are new, you know, you're in a brilliant home group here tonight. You know, like I said to begin with, you know, just throw yourself in. What's on offer is absolutely amazing. It is. And it does mean a little bit of sacrifice, and that sacrifice is your own ego and some of the ways you think of doing things. But if you're able to do that and just humble yourself and take these actions, there's an amazing life on offer. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.